Looking back at it, I would say when I became an insulin dependent diabetic, which was in 1985, my symptoms developed. They came out the exact same month my first book was released, and I was at what used to be called CBA, the ICRS, you know, and I was there at the convention, and I was signing autographs, and I was talking with people and all of this, and I was feeling really lousy. And so I got home and went to the doctor and had, you know, all your classic symptoms, so I kind of figured I had become a diabetic, and the doctor said, yeah, he says, you're a type 1, your blood sugar is way beyond what it would be if you're type 2, and it's pretty late, but your life's going to suddenly change, and it did suddenly change. But I think the thing that really hit me at the time was this was not coincidental. This was my first book, a book that I'd worked on for like 3 years. I enjoyed writing. I wanted to write. I figured I'd be doing future writing. And it was the Lord's way of both humbling me and causing me to be more dependent on Him. And one of the things I say to people is, you know, that probably the two greatest gifts the Lord has given me are both, were both trials. And the one, the diabetes, continues to be, but it has also been a gift, because I grew up very independent. My dad was like a classic do-it-everything himself. Nobody helps him with anything. He just his own, what in those days was called a Marlboro man, which was the old cigarette that the guy's on the horse, and he just kind of does whatever he does. And that was my dad, and he was a tavern owner, and very aggressively independent, resentful of all things religious, you know, those sort of thing. Well, I became a believer, but I still inherited from my dad kind of that independent. I was involved in a team ministry. We'd helped start a church together. But I also just had very strong views and was pretty self-reliant. I'd been very healthy, very athletic, mind and body working, functioning pretty well. Well, now with the diabetes, what happened was, I had a body that, had critical needs where literally if I didn't take insulin, I would eventually die. And even on a given day, I might, you know, have to go to a hospital or, you know, whatever. And then I had what, and I don't know if you've been around type 1 where you know what happens where, you know, you get the low blood sugar and then the person is just like they're not thinking clearly at all. And that's what was happening with me. I wasn't thinking clearly. I wasn't able to, you know, it was like I had Alzheimer's except a glass of orange juice would take it away in 20 minutes. But for that 20 minutes, it was like I just was not functional. My brain would not work properly. Then, you know, I'd say the stupid things that people say when they have low blood sugars, probably like somebody who is drunk, who says things that just aren't right. And then the people around me, and I'd see the look on their faces, and I'd realize, uh-oh, I've got a low blood sugar, don't I? And they'd say, yes, please, get something. Yeah, so I think what happened, Trulia, was I just learned to really depend more on the Lord. Every time I take a blood test, like I just took a blood test before you called, because I, you know, I have a alarm set 5 minutes before I have a phone appointment or any appointment, and then I check and I see, am I okay? Every time before I get up and speak, I check my blood sugar a couple of times, because if I have a low blood sugar when I'm speaking, not only am I in trouble, but anybody listening to me is in trouble. So, yeah. So, it became a self-conscious, I am aware of the Lord. His strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient. And so that was huge. Now that was all 5 years before the lawsuits that took me out of pastoral ministry and forced me to make minimum wage and all that. But it was actually a very good preparation for that also.